Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, December 26, 2019. We are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 78, the third paragraph down. Today's readers are Leslie M., Mo H., and Robin P. Reading the text and reading the 12 steps is Laura R. Reading the 12 traditions is Jerry L. And our newcomer greeter today is Penny C. And giving us announcements will be Robin P. The reference numbers for the prior two meetings. Yesterday, December 25th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard, the reference number is 13,874. That's 13874. And for this morning, Thursday, December 26, 7 a.m. meeting, Eastern Time, the reference number is 13,878 or 13878. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues for fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Laura R. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Kathy. This is Laura R., grateful compulsive overeater in Greeley, Colorado. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, Kathy, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura R. And Jerry L., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Yes, good morning. This is Jerry L. from Louisiana. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Can't hear you.
Can you hear me okay?
Now we can.
Oh. Okay.
Yes, now.
Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your sharing to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we begin our study of the Big Book on page 78, the third paragraph down, and I will ask Leslie M. to get us started.
Good morning, Kathy K. Thank you for your service. This is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Perhaps we have committed a criminal offense which might land us in jail if it were known to the authorities. We may be short in our accounts and unable to make good. We have already admitted this in confidence to another person, but we are sure we would be imprisoned or lose our job if it were known. Maybe it is only a petty offense, such as padding the expense account. Most of us have done that sort of thing. Maybe we were divorced and have remarried and haven't kept up the alimony to number one. She is indignant about it and has a warrant out for our arrest. That is a common form of trouble, too. It's very interesting. The thing that I get out of this is it's, you know, it says perhaps we have committed a criminal offense which might land us in jail. And I actually had committed a criminal offense in my period of being unrecovered in the food. And I heard about, it's so funny because, you know, no coincidences. Someone shared about it earlier in the first hour about driving without insurance. And I did that for a number of years. I drove without insurance because I couldn't afford the insurance. And, you know, and I ended up in court over it. You know, and the thing for me was that I got so afraid of this court proceeding that I just dropped out. I didn't go back. But I just lived in fear, and it was a constant torture on me. You know, were they going to find me this time? Was a police officer going to stop me for whatever wrongdoing? You know, so I was so anxious when I was driving that I know that I wasn't a very good driver. But the thing that occurred to me this morning is that I never went back and made amends to those people that are still around. This was probably almost 40 years ago. But I never went back to those people and made amends to the people that are still here for driving unsafely and driving, you know, taking them in my car while I was an uninsured driver. And so that has given me, you know, pause for thinking about more amends that I still need to make. The other thing that this paragraph is telling me is that, you know, I have to be willing to go to any length to do those things that are scary or even petrifying, which that incident was for me, to, you know, go back to the authorities and, you know, right that wrong as far as getting a license back and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I have to be willing to go to any lengths. Otherwise, you know, my only other alternative is going to be in the food. And I'm very grateful today that, you know, I have that entire abstinence. And, you know, for me right now, I'm grateful that, you know, the food is not an option, but, you know, it could be an hour from now or a week, a year from now. I have no guarantee unless I'm in fit spiritual condition and doing this work on a daily basis. So when these, as I've been reminded today, when these things come up, I need to go back and make these amends for the wrongs that I've done. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie M. Sorry. Okay, I'd like to take names of people who would like to share.
Shlomi Tana.
Okay.
Cindy H.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Cindy H.
Can take a few more. Okay, well,
Penny C.
Penny, great. Penny C. Is there one more person who would like to share? Okay, well, we'll check
Roz
in again.
Roz G can share.
Yes, Gail M.
Okay, Roz G and Gail M. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have Shlomit, Hannah, Sandy H., Cindy H., Penny C., Roz G., and Gail M. Shlomit, Hannah, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much for your service. And I'm sorry, I always forget to give my last initial of my last name, B, Shlomit, Hannah B. So I think what struck me about this paragraph is what a gift it is to be able to lead a clean life. And that's the gift the program gives us. I'm just coming back from relapse, and I'm 2 weeks into recovery. Thank you, God. And, you know, when I was in the food, when I'm in the food, there is a sense of entitlement almost, and I am much less, I guess, much less in control of my emotions, and definitely much less in control of my life, but there's almost this feeling of, you know, I'm so miserable and I'm suffering, so I deserve this or that. And I, you know, I see that it's that kind of thinking that can really, really lead to a lot of trouble. Thank God I did not commit any criminal offenses. But you know what? I hurt people. I did. I hurt people. And there was a sense of, like, almost not even I wouldn't say not caring that I hurt people, but I was in so much emotional pain that I just really wasn't sensitive. I wasn't as sensitive to other people. And I see now that I'm in recovery, thank you, God, I have regained that sensitivity. So I can really see how, you know, when you're in the disease, when you're in the food, when you're in your addiction, that overwhelming feeling of pain, and I guess the lack of sensitivity to other people and the sense of entitlement can lead to offenses. It can even be criminal, because there's almost this mindset of, you know, I'm so miserable that I deserve this. And I think that, you know, for me, it's such a beautiful miracle to really know that I can live a clean life. I can. I can clean up my side of the street. And I can lead a clean life. And if I've done something wrong or something to hurt other people, then I can make that amend and I can try to make it right. Sometimes I can't make it right. But, you know, that's up to God. But at least I can try to do my part to right the wrong that I've done. So I think that was my time. I heard a timer going off.
It was, yeah.
Okay, so I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Shlomitana B. Sandy H., please share with us.
Hi, this is Cindy H., and I think Sandy
okay,
and Cindy
okay.
might have been the same.
Okay.
Okay. Hi, everyone. This is Cindy H. I am a recovering compulsive overeater from Kansas City, and I'm so grateful for this meeting this morning. I really needed it. So thank you all for your service. For me, in reading this paragraph, I find that for a long time, I was very self-righteous because I didn't do a criminal offense, and I didn't, you know, my wrongs weren't as outward as they were inward, and so I would find myself thinking critical thoughts of other people or things like that that weren't as obvious, but they were still wrong and needed to be made right. And the hardest amends that I made were about four or five months ago. I realized I needed to make amends to my bosses because I didn't steal anything from my employer, anything, but I stole time. I padded my timesheet. I'd leave 15 minutes early, or I'd take 10 extra minutes for lunch and things like that. And at first I just thought, oh my gosh, I'm just being, you know, overly sensitive conscience, you know, and stuff like that, but they were wrongs that I needed to make right. And when I spoke to, I had three bosses I needed to make amends with, and they were just, their response was wonderful, which I'm very grateful for, but it was hard to just admit that I had done that and to say, you know, to say, I'm sorry I did that, I own it, will you forgive me? But as someone else shared, it was the most freeing experience, because now when I feel that little prick of my conscience, I can say, I made that right. I've been forgiven. I've forgiven myself. And it really can be a roadblock to my recovery if I don't do those things as they come up. And so I'm extremely grateful for this whole process has just changed my life dramatically in the last 3 months, I think, and I'm grateful for every abstinent day and for every time I talk to someone who's in recovery who can encourage me, and for the love that is on this phone line. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you very much, Cindy H. Penny C., please share with us.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you, Kathy. This is Penny C., recovered by the grace of God in the Boston area. Gosh, I listened to the first 2 hours in this morning meeting, and you know, when I first read this paragraph yesterday, read it again in preparation for this morning, and you know, I didn't commit any crimes. You know, this must be for people that robbed banks and did, you know, maybe even murdered people. And but after listening to the shares this morning and realizing, oh my goodness, the things that I did that were criminal. I have a water pitcher, a heavy crockery water pitcher that's, well, way back when I was in college, mid-60s, and it was from a restaurant, a very famous restaurant in downtown near the harbor in Boston, and we were there, a bunch of us college kids. And I said how I really liked that picture. I wish I had one. And when we got outside, one of the guys in the group showed me from under his jacket, and he said, "You really like that picture here," and gave it to me. And so I'm harboring a stolen article. And over the years, I've thought, maybe I ought to bring it back to them. I'm sure at this point it's an antique, and it's worth something. And it's, you know, still in pristine condition. But I could rationalize that, no, if I bring it back, there's probably new owners and somebody will just take it and you know, and on and on. Well, I made a resolve this morning because that does bother me every time I think about that's stolen property. And I accepted it. So, What I thought to do this morning is, I'm listening, I free myself from even that thought when I look at it, is to find some place where maybe it can be appraised. And that restaurant has closed just a couple of years ago, so that's not even a possibility. So, you know, I'll talk to my sponsor and perhaps I'll get it appraised and make a donation for how much it's worth to a charity. And then this is something that as a human being, and someone made that point this morning, that we're human beings. We do things that are wrong. We sin sometimes, he even said. And so, this is a way of freeing myself. And I'm so glad I heard the person this morning talk about something similar. And, that's my timer. So, God bless everybody, and I will pass.
Thank you, Penny C. Roz G., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in snowy Palmdale, California. And I did share yesterday on the other meeting, so I didn't want to be one of those everydayers, but nobody was speaking up. So anyway, I'm just kind of like, ooh. My criminal offense was hiding money from welfare. You're supposed to report all of your money, and years ago when I was on it, I received a large check from a settlement that I hid from them. It turned out to be that I was forgiven, and because I'm in this program, I explained to them that, you know, I don't act that way anymore today, but, you know, I did it too. And I'm always, you know, I'm a Christian and I go to church and stuff, and I never wanted to think of myself as a person who committed a criminal offense, but I did. I stole money from my mother's piggy bank for gas when I was too broke to fill up my car. I stole money from Taco Bell's cash register when I was a manager to buy gas because I didn't have money to buy gas. And as I've heard in the earlier shares, how many times have I come to work late and left early and got paid for it all? But you know, the nightly review talks about honesty. The morning prayer, God, you know, remove my fears and help me abstain from selfish dishonesty and self-seeking motives, whatever it is. You know what I mean? Dishonesty is always in there. And at night, it asks me, was I honest about stuff? So I get a check and a balance every day in the morning and in the evening. And it keeps me on the straight and narrow path with a help from a higher power. And it feels so cleansing to be a part of the human race and a part of this group, to be able to be honest and share about it. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Gail M., please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. This is Gail M. Thank you so much for your service. Yeah, I work 16-hour shifts, and when it talks about making amends, what I used to do is I would pack up all the stuff for two 16-hour shifts with like 5 hours sleep in between, which I'm trying to get off of them. The third day is an 8-hour shift. And I would pull up, you know, to the front door where I work, and I would run in and punch in, and then I would go and unpack all my stuff. And if we were celebrating something, then I would have even more stuff. And but I would do it on work time. And then I thought, if I'm going to pull up to the door, I better just punch in and go to my job. And now I just unload on my break. So I corrected it. I don't believe I really abused it much, but the bottom line is I corrected it. And it was stealing time. And I also heard once about a year ago that a girl came in, she punched in, and then she went back out to get her glasses and she got let go, you know, out of her car. So I guess if they want to get rid of you, they get rid of you. If they like you, they help you, blah, blah, blah. It's a lot of politics, even in hospitals. But yeah, I corrected the behavior. Now I just punch in and then on break, I unpack so that I'm not stealing time. And, you know, I also do a step 10 each day and a gratitude list each day. When I hang up this phone, I'll hit my knees and pray for guidance. Very grateful and just thankful that the meeting's here today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gail M. Okay, so for those of you who may have joined us late, we're on page 78, the third paragraph down, which begins, perhaps we have committed a criminal offense. And we read that one paragraph and we're sharing on it. So now I'd like to hear who else would like to share.
Julianne G.
Julianne G. Anyone else?
Michelle J.
Michelle G. Anyone else? Okay. I think I'll put my name on the list if there's nobody else. And I'll check in again with you all when the three of us share. Okay, Julianne G., please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, and I'm Julianne, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm glad to be here, and grateful to be abstinent the day after the holiday. And what I want to share on is that, you know, I stole food from the workplace, and how, you know, the lady that I was working for, she had a bowl of candy, and I kept eating it, and I had intentions of replacing it, but then I don't exactly know why I didn't. It was like more important things that, you know, quote unquote, more important things got in the way. Like, I just didn't take it seriously. Like, what I did wasn't such a, I think I lied to myself that it wasn't a problem because I couldn't stop doing it. And, you know, when I thought that there was something wrong with me, then I'd get really upset. And anyway, so at the time, for whatever reason, that's what I did. So years later, I made amends and I replaced it. And she told me that she thought I had some issues, and you know, but she was glad to see me too and glad that I'm doing well. But I appreciate those things, because there are some people that said, you know, I seem miserable or I had some problems. And I'm just glad about that, because it reminds me that my disease wasn't completely hidden, you know, and I thought I was fooling other people. And, you know, I could kind of fool my family better than I could fool certain people that I didn't know as well, it seems like. But it's just a good reminder where I was and where I could be if I don't stay abstinent. So I pass.
Thank you very much, Julie Ann G. Michelle G., please share with us.
Good morning, all of you. Michelle J. here. And, you know, I shared also yesterday, and I don't want to be a hog, but like so many of you, there's a few of us that's like, well, no one's chiming in here. And I just wanted to share that several of you have brought comfort and some ease to me today, because I haven't been able to make many amends because I was a little bit unsure. And what's happening is today I heard entitlement, and I went, ooh, that's one thing that I really think has been holding me back. I was the youngest of 12. So all these little things that had happened, well, I was the youngest. I was the baby. Therefore, my actions were justified. So that entitlement is not a reason for me, or being the youngest was not a reason for me. I still have to figure out what my part is. So then came into my mind is that thinking this through, and I hope this helps others, is that what do I feel shamed about in the past? And if I could have done it differently, if I knew, we always say things like, if I knew then what I know now. Ah, this is opening my eyes. Ah, I would have done this differently, and I would have behaved this differently and said this differently. And now I am free to make a whole bunch of amends in many, many ways in many areas of my life. And that's really just making things more clear to me. And I want to thank all of you for being with us together in this journey. Gosh, I couldn't do it without you. And I thank God, and just blessings to all of you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle J. And this is Kathy K. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And listening to all of your shares today, I realized that with all the examples that are here in these pages, and also the ones that people have shared today, what I see going across all of them is that this is really an opportunity to clean our side of the street. And we may get better at cleaning our side of the street as we progress in recovery. So things which I may not have seen or been aware of or could identify as a wrong I had done to someone years ago now might be so evident to me. And I find that the longer I'm in recovery, the more I discover amends that I didn't even know were on my list. I've gone to relatives that I don't see very often. When I see them now, I will take the opportunity to make an amends for having dropped out of their lives for a while and wanting to be connected again. I see things even in my marriage that when I made my first amends to my husband didn't really seem very important to talk about. But today I know with my deepening honesty and willingness that I need to make amends whenever I do something that could be hurtful or undermining of my husband's well-being. And there's something very special to me about being honest and taking the action of making an apology. And in our nightly review, we're asked to look at that. Is there anything we need to apologize for, or any person we need to apologize for? And my sense is that I will always have opportunities to make amends as long as I keep studying, using the tools in the big book to examine my behavior and my attitudes and how I affect other people. So this step is really one that is part of my everyday practice, and I'm very grateful for that. And I pass. So who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Santa A.
Jackie M. from Michigan. Okay, Jackie M. We have one more or two more? Okay, Santa H., please go ahead.
Did you get Jackie M. from Michigan?
I did get you, Jackie.
Okay, thank you.
The H. Go ahead,
good
Sam.
Morning. Good morning, my fellows. My name is Tanta A. Thank you for your service, Kathy. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And just listening to these shares this morning, this meeting and the 7 a.m. meeting, it just reminds me how something that I took to be so petty, that it was a serious stealing. I didn't, you know, I used to look down and say, well, I didn't go into the stores and steal food or, you know, walk out with something. And so what I did was not a crime. You know, I stole from my family. My relatives. I mean, I used to go to my aunt's house and always ask her if she wanted something from the store so that I can get something for myself and eat it before I get home, get back to her house. They had to hide candy from me. My mother did the same thing because they knew my behaviors. And I didn't see the seriousness of it until now. I mean, I did make my amends for the most about what I did. And, you know, my living amends are not taken today. And I'm very loving and calm and very helpful to them today. It told them how different I am. My behavior has changed. But, you know, I think in my heart, feeling for my family is far worse of a crime to me, because these are the people that I love and love me. And so I was just really touched by everyone's share, and I just let me think about my past and when I had to make this amends that I'd done several years ago. So thank you all for listening. With that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Santa H. Jackie M. from Michigan, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Jackie M. from Michigan, compulsive overeater. Thank you for your shares, and thank you for leading and all that stuff. I'm not good. This is my first time doing this, so I'm kind of nervous. But, you know, I made amends to stealing to my family, and the food that I took from mom and dad and puking in their house and all of that crap. But, you know, a thing I didn't think about is I used to work for a printing company years and years and years ago. And there was clip art that I would take that people had used, and it was their private. And I used it for Christmas cards. And it was just to my family. But I think I need to talk to my sponsor about that. I stole their artwork, kind of, and I didn't sell it or anything, and I just used it for, you know, Christmas cards, and I took a little spin on it, but still, I think that's stealing, and I never thought about that, and with all your other shares, it really brought to mind some of the things that I thought, you know, weren't anything to even think twice about. But yes, cleaning my side of the street up and just being honest and open to being honest and looking at my past and the things like, did I take a pen or did I take time? I didn't do that stuff, but, you know, maybe paper. I really need to dig deep in that and think about that clip art that I used. And thank you very much, and I'm so glad you guys are here. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jackie, for sharing.
Barbara
E. Okay, Barbara E., and we may have time for one more after Barbara. Is there another person who would like to share?
Audrey T. in L.A.
Okay, Audrey T., thank you. Go ahead, Barbara E.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you for your service on the day after Christmas. That can be a hard one for everyone. Sometimes the letdown just gets to you. And what I've been listening to and reflecting on was, yes, I stole money from my husband's pocket. He kept his bills in his pocket. And if I needed some money to buy, usually food, I would take it out and not tell him. I even stole coins that my son collected that he didn't like to have in his pocket, that he had in a big fishbowl in his room. I stole the Halloween candy that the kids hid from me because they knew I was going to take it. I stole time from my family by being in isolation, eating my food. So I stole from them too. And yes, I stole from the supermarkets. They used to have the candy out and you'd fill a bag and then get it weighed at the checkout counter. Well, I would fill a bag up with maybe a pound of candy, I don't know. But by the time I got to the checkout counter, maybe there was an eighth of a pound of candy there. So when I went to the supermarket, and I explained what I did many years later, the man laughed and said, yes, we kind of expected people to do that. And he didn't accept my money. He said, put it towards a charity that you think is worthwhile, which is what I did, towards the Interfaith Food Pantry in Essex County. I stole the love. I stole the companionship with my husband by being the kind of person that I was. And someone said, if I knew then what I know now, I would have acted differently. But I didn't know then what I know now. And it's taken a long time of really digging through my character defects and understanding my part in it and where I went wrong and what I have to do now. And I never use the word never with my husband and my son. I will never be impatient again. Of course I will be impatient again. I say I'll do my best. But already this morning, I stressed my son out by ordering a birthday cake for my daughter, who's coming on Saturday, and he felt very stressed by helping me make the decision. So he's left and he's gone to his room. I love this program. It keeps me focused on my principles, my moral ideals, what God would want me to be. And that's all I can be, imperfectly perfect, just another human being. I pass.
Thank you, Barbara E. And Audrey T., you'll be our last share today. Thank you.
What did you say, Audrey T.?
Yes, I did.
Oh, good morning, Visions Fellows. This is Audrey T. I'm calling from L.A. And thank you, moderator, and all those in service. Are we allowed to share if we're not entirely abstinent?
Yes, you don't have to be abstinent to share.
Okay, thank you. So I have 26 years from my bottom lines of my eating disorder, and I'm not entirely abstinent, and I have to say how painful it is. So I appreciate the shares that I've heard today from the people that had talked about what it was like and what it's like now. But even I heard someone that had 2 weeks, and I just have watched myself and other compulsive eaters at parties, and I, when I see their recovery and I don't have it, you know, I could see their recovery, and they're like, no, I'm just, when the food was served, they're just like, I'm just praying. And I wasn't praying. Well, I was praying, but I was still in it. And I'm having a difficult time in my life, and I give a 10th step every night, but I don't have the daily recovery. I don't have the recovery I want, and I don't have the OA fellowship I crave. And I'm wondering if I'm even willing to do what I need to do, but my back is against the wall. So I'm listening and I'm sharing, and I want to thank the people for, you know, I'm a petty thief, and I appreciate everybody talking about stealing time and money and things. When you go to work for yourself, you really understand what time means, and when people work for you, you know when things are missing from your office, and when they're on their phone, you really notice. And so I've learned that about time, but I was at my mother's, very messy Christmas at my mother's, and I showed up, and because she has a step family, it hasn't gone well for years, and it went really well yesterday, and I feel lack in a lot of ways in my life right now. And I took $25 from her open purse, because she had all this money sitting out. She was giving it to all the stepchildren, and I'm her own daughter. I just stuck my hand in there and reached for something, and I didn't even know what it was until I got to the car. And it just feels messy, and I don't want to start my day messy, because it'll show up in my 3 vision flows every day, and I get what I need from here, and I can't wait to make a commitment and find a sponsor and, you know, get more involved, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Audrey T. Please keep coming back, and there will be an opportunity to hear about available sponsors today. So I think we'll close now. We're going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. Mo H., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, Kathy. Thank you. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater from Walnut Creek, California, right now in Redding, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.